Well, hi everybody, Dr. Ron Caskey jumping in here just for a few seconds. I want to remind you about a flexible premium indexed annuity. I've been talking about this for weeks. I haven't seen one like this in decades. But right now, they're running a special bump on the bonuses up front and protect those bonuses on all new money for the first 3 years. So we need to talk about those details. And again, those aren't going to be around a long time. So if you're interested, get on my calendar. Don't put it off. But you can get anywhere from a 14% bonus up to a 23% bonus up front and on all new money you add to this annuity for the first 3 years. People have been asking me for things like this, and this, again, this isn't going to be around long. So you need to give me a call today. 14 to 23% bonus. Don't miss it. 877-218-1972. It doesn't cost you anything to get the information, and you may be interested in it. All right, back to the show. Hi, everybody. Dr. Ron Caskey here. Just a couple of minutes introduction to the Bible Views radio show. You can hear it in the KLTV listening audience every Sunday afternoon from 2 o'clock to 3 p.m. every Sunday. And then just like my Saturday Ron Caskey show, they're both archived over on my website at www.roncaskey.com. So that's R-O-N-C-A-S-K-E-Y. .com. Now, I'm inviting you to stay tuned to this one-hour show today and what the Bible Views radio show, pretty normal standard operating procedure. I usually read some articles that pertain to your church, your household, to Christians, to homeschooling, things that affect our lives as Christians here in the United States. Then I go down some headlines that I get out of the Sword of the Lord every week that you're not going to get in the left-wing nut socialist media. And I read some of those headlines and describe some of those. I usually sing a song off of one of my albums. I've recorded 5 gospel albums, stereo albums, 50 songs. And I normally pull one of those off and play it, usually by about the start of the second segment of my Bible Views radio show. Then I invite you, if you're stationary, to grab a Bible and follow through with me in your Bible on what does the Bible have to say about financial freedom? What does the Bible have to say about investing? What does the Bible have to say about giving, lending, charging interest, paying interest, collecting interest? What is the Bible? See, there's 450 some odd verses in the Bible on wealth, riches, abundance, and prosperity. There's 15 on poverty. So I break that down every Sunday. I talk about Joseph, the first financial planner in the Bible. I talk about taking offerings, financing the church. Just all kinds of things, and it's all from the Bible. What does the Bible have to say about God's money? It's all God's money. So stay tuned. Thanks for listening. Welcome once again to the Bible Views radio show. I'm Dr. Ron Caskey. I'm your host. I'm here every week at the same time. Give me a call this afternoon. Get on my calendar starting tomorrow morning for a no-cost appointment in your home or your office. Give me 30-ish minutes with you and your stuff and your spouse, and I'll bring you information on how to capture the upside of the market with absolutely none of the downside risk. So there's two things that I take off the table. Number one is zero risk. Number two, no gambling. So I take gambling off the table and I take high risk off the table. And I do it all with indexed annuities because I believe God is against gambling with God's money. So if you don't feel that way, okay, I can't change your mind. I believe that indexed annuities is the best thing for Christians to protect and grow God's money. So give me a call. Ready? Write it down. 303-710-3791. Toll free is 877-218-1972. Call me this afternoon for a no-cost appointment this coming week. I always read, well, when I haven't run out of issues of the sword of the Lord that comes every 2 weeks. I say this all the time. Every Christian household and every church should order the sword of the Lord. They give churches discounts. I preach and sing in churches all over the country on weekends. And it's always refreshing when I walk into the lobby of a church to preach and they've got stacks of the sword of the Lord for their members to take home with them. And if your church doesn't do that, then give me a call and or email me is better, and I'll email you the subscription tab that's in every Sword of the Lord. And there's a banner down at the end of the second page, and it tells you how to order the Sword of the Lord, and I'm looking for the price. I think it's $24.95. I can't spot it here just right off. Yep, there it is. $24.95 comes out every 2 weeks. Jam-packed 24 pages of things like I read on my radio show. Noteworthy news, pro-life, and education, chaos, and crisis. I read those articles on my Sunday Bible Views radio show. And then every now and then I'll save one for my Saturday show. But otherwise, it's Bible-based sermons that every household needs. I'm telling you. So if you're interested, send me an email and I will send you that banner, $24.95. No, I do not get paid for pushing the sword of the Lord. I just think every Christian household should have that coming to your house every 2 weeks. So, noteworthy news, Trump 2.0 puts religious liberty back on offense. One underreported achievement of President Trump's first administration was the support the Justice Department provided to religious liberty litigants. During those years, the federal government filed statements of interest and friend of the court briefs defending conscience rights at a pace unmatched by either of Trump's immediate predecessors. Cases involving memorial crosses, conscience protections, ministerial autonomy, and the rights of religious schools all reflected a broader shift in posture from the Obama administration and certainly from the O'Biden administration. The Justice Department's recently released a report from the Task Force to Eradicate Anti-Christian Bias suggests that the second Trump administration intends not merely to defend religious liberty, but to embed those protections throughout the administrative state. And you know, just take Christmas, for instance. I mean, they brought Christmas back to the White House for the first time in, 12 years with his interlude, his first administration. And so a major development of Trump's second administration has therefore been the construction of infrastructure around religious liberty itself. This development especially visible inside the Justice Department. So he's standing up for the Christian family, church, Christian schools, Christian liberty across the board, and take this anti-Semitism and satanic atheism off the table when it comes to the family and churches and preachers and so on. Pastoral support for and against same-sex marriage stalls. Almost a decade after the Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage across the country, most pastors remained opposed, and the supporting percentage isn't growing any larger. Of course, I don't see how, first of all, I don't see how you can be a Christian and favor same-sex marriage, but certainly you cannot possibly be a Christian, Bible-based pastor, believe the Bible, believe in Jesus Christ, and allow same-sex marriage performed in your so-called church. It's impossible. One in five U.S. Protestant pastors, 21%, say they see nothing wrong with two people of the same gender getting married. According to a Lifeway research study, three in four, 75%, are opposed, including 69% who strongly disagree with same-sex marriage. Another 4% say they aren't sure. See, you cannot possibly be a Bible-believing, even a Christian, pastor and believe or promote same-sex marriage. Debates continue within denominations at national and judiciary levels on the morality of same-sex marriage, yet the overall number of Protestant pastors who support same-sex marriage is not growing. Well, that's noble. The previous growth in clergy support of same-sex marriages was driven by U.S. mainline Protestant pastors. In 2010, a third, 32%, were in favor. By 2019, almost half, 47%, saw nothing wrong. Current support among self-identified mainline pastors remains similar at similar levels, 46%, Methodist, 53%, Presbyterians and Reformed, 36%, Lutherans, 34%, are more likely to be supportive of same-sex marriage. The editor says, for a pastor of any group to give approval to homosexuality is a shame and a disgrace that denies reality and defies common sense. It is a sin so gross that the word abomination clearly defines it. And that is the only sin in the Bible that says it is an abomination unto God. Hate crimes against Christians surge in Europe. Arson attacks were prevalent among a surge in anti-Christian hate crimes in May, according to the Observatory on Intolerance and Discrimination Against Christians in Europe. The watchdog's May report shows 37 verified anti-Christian hate crimes across 11 European countries. The crimes include 13 arson attacks, 10 acts of vandalism, 3 cases of desecration, 3 incidents of physical violence, 3 thefts targeting religious objects, 3 cases of vandalism and violence and so on. And it's here in America. You take the person, I started to say guy, but that's too relative of a term, but the person that shot Charlie Kirk, he was gay, had a husband, They were living in sin from the get-go, and he killed Charlie Kirk outright. I mean, the evidence against him is so, they shouldn't even need a trial to send him to the death chamber. And yet, he killed Charlie Kirk because Charlie Kirk took a stand against gays, homosexuality, and same-sex marriage, as he should. And as any pastor that has an ounce of gray matter in his cranium and even a hint of salvation should take a stand against those sins. HHS secretary announces $700 million more for addiction recovery with emphasis on faith-based organizations. Once again, Trump is taking a serious, now they call it a religious stand. Well, there's 4,200 religions and only one with a risen live Savior. Only one out of 4,200. So as far as I'm concerned, religion and the word religious is offensive, but at least he's taken a Christian stand against some of these things. And so U.S. Health and Human Service Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. announced more than $700 million in new funding to treat drug addiction, mental illness, and homelessness on Wednesday, a couple of weeks ago, including access for faith-based organizations, which previous administrations actively discouraged. That would be Vladimir O'Biden and Obama. Kennedy said it was part of President Donald Trump's Great American Recovery Initiative. He also framed drug addictions and homelessness as interconnected issues that come with an enormous human toll. And he said since 2000, drug-related deaths have claimed more than a million Americans' lives. On any given night, more than 770,000 Americans are experiencing homelessness in communities across our country. These challenges are deeply connected, he said. Addiction destroys health, destabilizes families, fuels homelessness, and leaves too many Americans trapped in crisis. I like Kennedy. I believe he's doing a good job. And he and Trump are doing their best to get this back to a practicing Christian nation. Not a religious nation, a Christian nation. So there you go. I'm going to cut those down for the next few weeks because I want to spend quite a bit of time on the millennium. And I said before, I'll say it again. In all of my years on earth, I have never heard a sermon, I've never read a sermon on the millennium. And so I'm spending at least 7 weeks talking about the millennium. And so be sure and stay tuned. Here's my numbers. Call me this afternoon, 303-710-3791. Toll free is 877-218-1972. Call me for a no-cost appointment this coming week. Stay tuned. I will be right back.
Walter J. Hopp of Hopp & Associates is a law practice limited to estate and business planning. Walter is a Colorado native with extensive experience with clients local and nationwide, and is a former partner in a large multi-state estate planning law firm, affiliated with several professional groups to provide the most current and unique solutions for his clients. Walter is the author of articles and a book on estate planning, and a frequent speaker over the years to lawyers and groups alike. Again, on estate planning, Walter offers a unique approach for how to protect yourself and loved ones from a litigious and expensive legal system. And listen to this, your first meeting with Walter is free. That's right, free. To see if they can improve on planning that you may already have in place, call Walter and Associates PC of Longmont. Call today, 303-776-4045, or email him at walterhopp@hopplaw.org.
Well, hi, everybody. Dr. Ron Caskey jumping in here just for 60 seconds to tell you about orphan 401ks. I've been talking about that for several weeks, did a couple of webinars on it. If you have left a job and left a 401k behind, that is an orphan 401k that no one cares about, no one's contributing to, no one's matching your money, and if you leave it there long enough, the fees will destroy that orphan 401k. So we can move that into an IRA annuity. It's just a matter of paperwork, a transfer form, and get it out of there into something that'll grow for you. Call me for a no-cost appointment in your home or your office. Here's my number, 303-710-3791. Do it today. Don't put it off. All right, welcome back to my second segment of today's Bible Views radio show. I'm Dr. Ron Caskey. I'm your host. I'm here every week at this same time. Take a pen, a piece of paper, write down my phone numbers. Call me this afternoon for a no-cost appointment in your home or your office this coming week. You ready? Here they are. 303-710-3791. Toll free is 877-218-1972. Give me a call this afternoon for a no-cost appointment. I will bring information and show you how to be a good steward of God's money, and that means taking the risk and gambling totally off the table. And so at least get the information. It doesn't cost you anything. I played this song on yesterday's radio show, on the Ron Caskey show, as I do on Saturdays. And it's one I recorded years ago. Still sing it. It's called Redemption Draweth Nigh. Folks, we are on the very edge of the rapture of the church. Sometimes I even slip and call that the second coming. It's not. Jesus doesn't touch foot on this planet when he comes to take the church out of this chaotic world. That's called the rapture of the church. And then there's 7 years of tribulation here on earth, chaos like this world has never seen. And then is the second coming of Jesus Christ, when we as saints return to this earth to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. That's the millennium. And that's, I'm in my third week this week talking about the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ. It's really an exciting time, and you never hear a sermon on it. And so redemption draweth nigh. It's right on. It's on us, folks. Are you ready? I sure am. You need to make sure you are. Here you go. Redemption draweth nigh.
Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Signs of the times are everywhere, and there's a brand new feeling in the air. Keep your eyes upon the eastern sky.
some people doubt he'll ever come again. But the word of God is true. He'll redeem his chosen few. Know there's hope. Soon Christ Jesus will be saved.
Go lift up your head, redemption draweth nigh. You know, I was thinking as I played that song, sang along with it actually, and people talk about, you know, they like my singing, and there's people out there that can sing a whole lot better. There's not too many older folks that can still sing, and in 2.5 weeks I'll be 83. And I've said this before, Willie Nelson and Neil Diamond give me hope because they're older than I am and they're still singing. You know, years ago, I had nodules on my vocal cords. They're actually vocal folds. And I froze up singing on a Sunday morning. I went for a B flat in that song and I couldn't hit it. Went to the doctor. They scoped me, and they said you've got nodules. They took them off, and made sure they were benign. And they were. They're just like calluses on my vocal folds. But what it did, it scared me so badly, because the doctor that scoped my throat said you're going to have to stop singing and maybe preaching. I said, several things are going to happen before that, and that'll be my death. But it paralyzed my vocal cords. And so I went to a vocal therapist who worked mainly with stutterers and stammerers. And she worked out of her home. I'll never forget. She had this French provincial furniture in the living room, just a nice, calm setting. And she'd set me in the living room, and she said, there's a puzzle that you can't work, but I'm going to be putzing around here in the kitchen. And she said, I want you to sing that song that you froze up on and try and work this puzzle. And so I went several times to her. And one morning I went in there, and she knew enough about my personality. You tell me I can't do something, I will do it. And one morning I went in there and I was humming that song, and I finished the song, and she come running into the room, and she said, you did it. I said, no, I didn't. The puzzle is still not put together here. She said, no, you hit that B flat. What she did was took my mind off of my paralyzed vocal cords and gave me my singing voice back. So now I get my throat scoped at least twice a year, about every 6 months I do that. And I just did it recently. And she said, I can tell you use your voice a lot. But she said, it's just as smooth as baby's bottom. I said, oh, that's really good. So I'm just saying that, folks, I enjoy singing. It's a blessing to a lot of people. But by the grace of God, I want to enter the gates of heaven singing. I really do. I enjoy it. So anyway, I told you that personal story. I'm not bragging on me, but I sure am bragging on Jesus for what he allows me to do in my ministry. So there you go. Just thought I'd pass that on. Mainly, I started out to just tell you, hey, I had my throat scoped again a couple of weeks ago, and it's clear. So let's talk about Thy Kingdom Come. That's the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ. So this week, I want to start, and I've got way too much material here. I have done a deep dive on the millennium. And I've got way too much. I will not finish this series, this third week today, because I want to talk about who lives in the millennium. What does it look like? So for 2 weeks, we've been talking about something that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And he said, pray, thy kingdom come. Well, thy kingdom come is the millennium. So what happens when his kingdom does come? Who's here? What do they look like? Do people marry? Are babies born? Does anybody die? Is there still sin? And here's the fascinating part. During the millennium, there will apparently be two completely different populations living on the same earth. And that answers an enormous number of questions that some people who think about this have. And so there's two populations, but one kingdom. So population number one, group number one, are the glorified saints. Those of us who went up at the rapture, the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up and meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the rapture of the church and the end of the age of grace and the church age. And so we have now been in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb, the judgment seat of Christ, and fellowshipping with fellow saints for 7 years while the tribulation takes place down here on this earth. And so these glorified saints that come back with Jesus for the thousand-year reign of Christ are the church age believers that were caught up at the rapture. They're the resurrected Old Testament saints and the resurrected tribulation martyrs. Now, there will be people saved during the tribulation. They'll mainly be Jews. But Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6 says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's us, glorified saints. These saints that reign and come back with Jesus possess glorified bodies. We have spiritual bodies that we were resurrected with. We come back with those resurrected, glorified bodies. You want to know what that looks like? Just look at Jesus when he walked out of the tomb and the disciples were meeting for supper and Jesus appeared. Closed doors, closed walls, Jesus appeared. So we will come back in our spiritual glorified bodies, immortal, no longer subject to death, no longer subject to disease, absolutely no sin nature, and no aging, no marriage. You got to understand that. Now, that'll make some people happy and some people sad, but we won't need marriage in our glorified bodies. Luke chapter 20, verse 35 to 36. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. It's very clear in Luke chapter 20, verse 35. Neither can they any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. We are coming back in our glorified bodies. No marriage, no age, no sin, no sickness, no disease. And I believe we will travel in our spiritual bodies spiritually, he says, just like the angels do. And then Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21, we shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. 1 John 3, 2, and we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Now, if we're going to be like him, and Jesus ascended to his Father, walked out of the tomb, ascended to his Father at just over 33 years old. So I'm assuming that our glorified bodies will, no matter what age you were when you died or raptured, that we will all be approximately 33 years old. So that's just an image, but he says we shall be like him. And so think about that. We will be like Jesus. And my time's up. Give me a call, 303-710-3791. Toll free is 877-218-1972. Stay tuned. I'll be right back. Hi everybody, Dr. Ron Caskey jumping in here just for 60 seconds to tell you about orphan 401ks. I've been talking about that for several weeks, did a couple of webinars on it. If you have left a job and left a 401k behind, that is an orphan 401k that no one cares about, no one's contributing to, no one's matching your money, and if you leave it there long enough, the fees will destroy that orphan 401k. So we can move that into an IRA annuity. It's just a matter of paperwork, a transfer form, and get it out of there into something that'll grow for you. Call me for a no-cost appointment in your home or your office. Here's my number, 303-710-3791. Do it today. Don't put it off.
Walter J. Hopp of Hopp & Associates is a law practice limited to estate and business planning. Walter is a Colorado native with extensive experience with clients local and nationwide, and is a former partner in a large multi-state estate planning law firm, affiliated with several professional groups to provide the most current and unique solutions for his clients. Walter is the author of articles and a book on estate planning, and a frequent speaker over the years to lawyers and groups alike. Again, on estate planning, Walter offers a unique approach for how to protect yourself and loved ones from a litigious and expensive legal system. And listen to this, your first meeting with Walter is free. That's right, free. To see if they can improve on planning that you may already have in place, call Walter and Associates PC of Longmont. Call today, 303-776-4045, or email him at walterhopp@hopplaw.org.
All right, welcome back to my third and final segment. My goodness, I just looked up. I was reading those scripture verses. I looked up and I was out of time. And I could do this for 3 hours every Sunday and get through it. So anyway, jot my numbers down. Call me this afternoon, 303-710-3791. Toll free is 877-218-1972. Back to our study on the millennium. I said there's two populations here on earth during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. We in our glorified bodies, our spiritual bodies, our bodies that are like him, Jesus said in several places. Now understand, we're not deity. Only Jesus is deity, but we are glorified. Think about that. Population number two are the natural human beings over whom we're going to rule and reign during the millennium. So here's where people get surprised. There will also be ordinary human beings living during the millennium in physical bodies. And much to the chagrin of every liberal, socialist, communist, Democrat out there and satanic atheist out there, there will only be two genders. I know that comes as a shock to all of these Democrats that think there's 82. But the physical bodies of these human beings will be men and women. They will live as families. They will have children. They will eat. They will work. They will build. They will farm. They'll travel. They'll age. And eventually, they can die. These are initially the saved people who survived the tribulation who and enter Christ's kingdom in natural bodies. Now understand that. These are the people that will not take the mark of the beast during the tribulation. And they can be saved. They will be martyred. And that's who these human beings are on this earth. So now we talk about there's two populations. We in our glorified bodies, they in their human bodies. So let's talk about who gets into the kingdom. Well, Matthew 25, you can take time after my radio show today and read that, but it talks about the sheep and the goat judgment. At Christ's second coming, surviving humanity is separated. The sheep, that's us, the believers, they enter the kingdom. The goats are the unbelievers, and they are removed in judgment. So just one verse out of Matthew 25 and verse 34. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Even though preachers have ignored this subject over the years, Jesus hasn't. He said, I've prepared a kingdom from the foundation of the world. And so think about what that means. The millennium begins with a believing human population. Christ is physically present. Satan, the first thing that happens, I believe is Revelation 20, I pointed out 2 weeks ago, is Satan is bound in the side of the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Now, how does that apply to us today? Well, understand that's why Satan is working overtime to get to Christians, to water down the gospel and the preachers and so on, to keep as many people from getting into the kingdom as he possibly can, because he knows, Satan knows today, Satan knows that his time is limited on this earth. And is he busy? Oh my, you can't imagine. Satan is very busy. And so he'll be bound in the side of the bottomless pit. So the goats are the unbelievers removed in judgment. There begins with Satan being bound in the side of the bottomless pit. But for the first time ever, government is perfect. You don't need me to tell you that government is so imperfect today, it's unbelievable. But for the first time ever, the government will be perfect, because Jesus and we as glorified saints will rule and reign for 1,000 years. That means every seat of government, every position, and I say this all the time, from your HOA to princes and kings and queens and presidents. I had a guy call me after I said that on one of my radio shows. He was cussing. He says, what do you mean? We're going to have government? I'm tired of the government. I hung up on him, but you missed the point. The government will be perfect for the first time ever. And the original natural population entering the kingdom knows the king. They will be born-again Christians. So let's take a look at babies and families and long life. Do people have children in the millennium. Of course, they're human beings. We don't. We're glorified bodies. But the humans on the earth will have children. They can marry. They can have children. Isaiah 65 and Zechariah 8 describes children during this period. And I don't have time to read those chapters, but Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 5, "And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof." I love that picture. No war. There is no war. That ended with the tribulation period here on earth. So during the millennium, kids will be able to play out after dark in the streets. Not war, not crime, not fear. Children playing in the streets like we did when we were kids. We went out after supper and we played until the street lights came on or the yard light came on. That's what it'll be like during the millennium. And so it says, "And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof." I just love that picture. No war, no crime, no fear. Children playing safely after dark. Families grow. Population will explode. The earth is repopulated during the millennium. So here, this brings up another question. Will people die? Well, natural humans apparently will. We, as glorified saints, will remain ageless. We will not age. We will not get sick. We will not die. And because we are like Jesus in our glorified bodies. But the natural human beings on earth during the millennium will die. Isaiah 65:20 gives us this remarkable statement. It says, "For the child shall die 100 years old. In other words, dying at 100, let me read that again to you, see if you get it. "And the child shall die 100 years old. You got to understand, in other words, people will die at 100, but they'll die like a child. In other words, dying at 100 would be considered remarkably young during the millennium. And imagine reading an obituary during the millennium. My mind goes wonky sometimes, but I just wrote this down. Here's a headline during the millennium. "Tragically died at only 100 years old." That'll be one of the headlines in the millennium. Longevity apparently moves back towards something resembling pre-flood conditions. Adam lived to 930 years old. Methuselah, the oldest man that ever lived, was 969. Noah was 950 years old. A 1,000-year kingdom populated by people experiencing extraordinary longevity. Imagine the population growth here on earth. I'm just trying to paint a picture here. Having studied the millennium now and doing a deep dive on this, just think about that. And so here's another thing during the millennium. It'll be not only a perfect government, but it'll be a perfect world with imperfect hearts. So now we reach what may be the theological centerpiece of today's program. Will there be sin? Not among glorified saints, there won't be sin, but among the natural human beings here on earth. There's natural human beings, and they will sin. Every child born during the millennium will still be descended from Adam. And Romans 5 tells us what came through Adam. Romans 5 says a fallen nature came from Adam. That means something extraordinary. Satan is bound. There's no satanic deception. No demonic activity deceiving the nations. No devil walking about seeking whom he may devour like he is today. Christ is physically ruling along with the saints, glorified saints. Justice is perfect. We've already covered that today. The government is perfect for the first time ever. The environment is extraordinary. Yet human beings will still need salvation. Why? Well, Isaiah 17:9 answers that question. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Satan's bound, but human beings are still born with a wicked, desperately wicked heart. And so here's the main point today. The millennium proves that man's ultimate problem was never his environment. That's what the liberals would have you believe. That's what the Democrats would have you believe. That's what these satanic atheist politicians would have you believe, that it's the environment and climate change. No, it's the heart. That has always been, since Adam, that has always been man's problem, because as Isaiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So let's close out today by touching on what does perfect government look like. this is kind of fun, actually. I never liked talking about sin and sinners and so on, but they will be able to be saved, oh, by the way. But what does a perfect government look like? Isaiah 9:6 gives us that answer. And the government shall be upon his, Jesus' shoulder. And the government, for the first time ever, will be upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ. And the saints in our glorified bodies will carry out that government in every position of leadership on this earth during the millennium. So finally, for the first time ever, there will be no corrupt politicians, no lobbyists buying influence, no rigged courts. I got to end. I hope you'll come back next week and we'll finish this study. Here's my numbers. Call me today, 303-710-3791. Toll free is 877-218-1972. Until the millennium, we need to take care of our finances. Thanks, Bob. Well, hi, everybody. Dr. Ron Caskey here. You know, people go to Las Vegas, Cripple Creek, Central City, whatever, and they say, if I pull this handle one more time, surely I'll win. People get off the airplanes all happy. They get back on the same airplane 3 days later, all sad. My point in saying that is the market will not sustain highs. It goes up and it goes down. So I'm suggesting that you don't wait until the market tanks to get your money changed over to a safety net. That's where I come in. I do everything with indexed annuities where the risk is on the life insurance company instead of on your shoulders. I do it all with indexed annuities and life insurance. So if you're interested in capturing the upside of the market with none of the downside risk, I'm the guy you want to talk to. And my time never costs you a penny, ever. All you got to do is pick up the phone, call me, get on my calendar, and I'll bring the information to you. Here's my numbers. Call me now. Don't put it off. Don't wait until the market tanks. 303-710-3791. Toll free is 877-218-1972. Pick up the phone right now. Get on my calendar. Don't put it off. 877 218-1972. Again, my name's Dr. Ron Caskey. My time doesn't cost you a penny ever. Call me now. Thanks. Bye. Well, there you go. Bible Views Radio Show for today. Hope you enjoyed it, listening to it as much as I enjoy every week doing these one-hour radio shows. The Ron Caskey Show is here on the KLTT listening audience 1 to 2 o'clock on Saturdays, and this Bible Views Radio Show every Sunday 2 to 3 p.m. on Sunday afternoons. And then, of course, they're archived for 1 week. They're put up on my website at www.roncaskey.com. If you have questions concerning the Bible and what the Bible has to say about any subject, actually, just understand this. I don't debate or argue the Bible. See, a lot of people say, well, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. I got news for you. God said it. That settles it. And speaking of settle it, let me just explain to you the most important thing you could call me about is your salvation. Do you know if you died today that you'd go to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're not sure of that, by all means, pick up the phone today and call me, and I'll tell you what the Bible says, and it's real simple, but you do need to be born again. You need to be saved. Once we settle that matter of salvation, then we can talk about God's money and how you can protect it, preserve it, and grow it. Now, to do that, you need to get on my calendar for next week. I know it's Sunday. I don't take appointments on Sunday. I don't work this business on Sunday. But I can answer my cell phone. And so if I'm not in church or doing something else this afternoon, then pick up the phone and call me this afternoon or this evening. But one thing you do need to do is set an appointment for this coming week. Give me 30-ish minutes to bring information to you and your spouse, if there is one, at your home or McDonald's, and show you how I can help you protect, preserve, and grow God's money. Here's my toll-free number. As I said, you can use it today, and I'll call you back. Here it is, 877-218-1972. 877-218-1972. Hey, have a blessed Lord's Day. Thanks for listening. See you next week. Bye.